Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh. I think we're finally getting to start this Masechet. We took a nice big bite out of it, huh? It is daf Kuf Tet Zayin. Yeah. And we're holding on Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, and we just learned some startling things. That things used to be very different. And that before the building of the Mishkan, any type of animals, they didn't have to be the short kesef ha'ez that we're so used to. As long as they were kosher animals, could be brought on the Mizbeach. Same thing would be true of birds. Shocking. Imagine bringing up chicken. So, let's figure out where all of this comes from. Let's examine some of the other tremendous differences from what was before the Mishkan and what was after. So first, let's take a look. And by the way, this is Nogea Bizman Hazeh, because remember that Goyim are still allowed to be Makriv in this fashion, Bizman Hazeh, in their own personal Boma. And we're going to have cases in the Gemara where this actually took place and where we gave them a hand to teach them how to do this properly. So Omer Mar, on Kuf Tet Vav Amid Beis, Hakol Ksherim Lakriv. It used to be that any type of animal whatsoever would be kosher for Akrava. How do we know that? You know what I mean? Omrevuna, well, it's quite clear. After all, the original Korbanos that we know about was the learned out from Vayivan Doach Mizbeach Lashem, Vayikach Mikola Beima Torah, Mikola Ofa Tohar. So Noach had figured out the reason that he was supposed to be bringing Shiva Shiva from each one, if it was a min that was tar, must be because these were not there just to repopulate the world. They were there in order to bring the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make it a different kind of world. So because of that, he brought every one of those minim, and that was every kosher type of animal or bird. So when it says behima, okay, behima would mean, of course, the domesticates. And remember that we also know that Chaya Bechlal Behema, this we know from the famous drasha of Zota Behema Asher Tochelu, and then the Torah, after telling us what the names are, supposedly, of the animals that you're going to be eating, that are behemot, that are domesticated animals, it talks about, after mentioning the shor and sex avim, it talks about all kinds of wild animals, Ayal, Vitzvi, Vayachmur, Vakov, Vidishon, and so on. So obviously, when the Torah says Zota Behima, it doesn't mean Zota Behima, specifically domesticated animals. It means the living beings that are mammals of some kind. And then it mentions the Ofot, and that was any of the birds. And when it says Of, Mikola of, it means any of at all. How do we know that they could be zicharim v'nekevot and tamimim u'ba'alei mumim? How about that? I mean, maybe there were other dinim that they had to be, at least not have any mumim on there, or that they had to be of a particular sex. Like we know today, different animals have to be different sexes to be used for different korbanos. The Omar Mar, Tamut v'zachrut b'beima, the ein tamut v'zachrut b'ofot. So we know that we learned out from the parsha of actual mumin today that where the Torah introduces the mumin, it says, ish ish v'beit Yisrael, minager b'Yisrael, sheyakrif korbano, and so on and so forth, that has to be brought Zachar, Tamim Zachar, Babakar, Bakvasim, Uba Izim. And it very clearly does not mention the oath. Then it goes through the list of all the mumi. So we see that when it comes to the ofot, there was no hakpada on mumi, and we never find that there's any hakpada on the sex of the bird. As a matter of fact, it's not that easy to determine the sex of the birds that we bring. And therefore, there's no external genitalia. So, bichlol, the Torah wasn't makbid on the concept of maleness when it comes to birds. So, there's no din of tamut or zachrut with birds. Now, since over here, when it came to Noach, it said Beferish in that pasuk that we just quoted, that it puts together Mikol HaBehema u'Mikol HaOf, so then that means that the Torah is comparing the behemot, in this case, to the oaf. And just like the oaf never needs to be tam and never needs to be zachar, so too any of the other animals that were able to be brought at the time of Noach, the pairs were brought, the shiva shiva, male and female, and there was no need to have any type of bedika, that there shouldn't be bali mumi. And when you say either Tamimim or Bali Mumin, what that is coming to tell me is that they need to be at least Bali Mumin, but not worse than that. And what would that be worse than that? Would be excluding the Chusar Ever, the law. If they were missing an actual part, a body part, then that would not be included. And that we know is true, Mizman Azeh also, even of the Ofot. Omar Rabbi Elazar, how do we know? Minayin lebechusar Ever. How do we know that that was even usher to be brought by Noach? That was because it says, Umikol achai, mikol basar. What's this lashon? We had all of this, if you recall earlier, where we went through what it was that the Torah was saying about the dinim of the Bnei Noach, l'gabi treifas, and b'chusar ever. But let's review it today. So since it says, mikol achai, mikol basar, what does chai mean? I mean, if we're talking about the brink from the animals, and obviously they are variants of living beings. So what the meaning of chai is, Omra Tera, Havei Behema Shechayin Roshei Evarim Shela. The animal that you bring should have its complete chiyut in terms of its actual limbs. So it can't have anything that was missing. How do you know it means that, though? Maybe it simply means a chai is an animal that is fully alive and that is not a treifa, because that animal would not be properly living. It wouldn't have the same ability to express its life. And as we see later, there are those that say that the treifa ain't a chaya either. So maybe when it says chai, dimalamute treifa, maybe it's not talking about... Maybe it's missing a toe? No, a toe isn't going to make it a treifa. Maybe it's referring specifically to a treifa and not to an externally visible missing limb. So that says the Gemara, I already know that a treifa is not included. How do I know that? Because since it said beferish to Noach, that the reason that you're bringing all of these things are lachayot zera al pnei kol haaretz, you need to bring things that can reproduce, so therefore, we already know that it's not a treifa because a treifa can't be reproducing. Really? Isn't that a machlokas? That's all very nice if you go according to the shita that says that a treifa, in fact, is sterile. But what if you don't hold of that? What if you hold according to the Man D'Yomar that treifa is yoledes? Then you can't learn from the words lachayot zera. So ma'ikalamemar then? Then you're going to need this pasuk to tell me, lafuke treifa, before it tells you missing toes. Nah, but we know that it couldn't be a treifa, because the Torah also said to bring the animals into the teva in order, lachayot itach. They have to be alive the way you are alive, with you. And that would mean, bedomim lecha, just like Noach wasn't a treifa, so too, the animals that he brings in have to be similar to him. They all have to be able to bring a certificate. They've been going to gym, and they're in good shape to repopulate the earth. Well, wait a minute. We don't know what Noah's personal condition was. I mean, maybe Noah was a mess, you know? How do we know that Noah wasn't a treifa? I mean, albeit working on a teva for 120 years, I guess sort of builds your muscles, but that doesn't mean he hadn't been smoking. So how do we know what his state of health was? Well, Noach couldn't have been a treifa. It says Noach was tamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, he's a tamim. But maybe tamim doesn't mean he was physically not a treifa. Maybe tamim means he was a wonderful gentleman. Tamim bidrachav. No, we know that already. It says tzaddik. Well, tzaddik and tamim are not the same thing. I mean, maybe it means tamim in the way that he acted. His character was tamim, and his acts were all tzaddik, that he didn't do anything that was wrong. didn't participate in the stealing that was going on and in the sexual corruption that was going on. But how do we know that he was tamim in the sense of not being a treifa? Well, because imagine what the meaning would be if Noach was a treifa and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, bring animals like you. So in other words, then the mitzvah would be only bring animals that are treifas. Is that really ridiculous? So obviously, if the Torah is saying they need to be like you, it's saying built on the assumption that Noach was in good shape. Because Isaac to Noach gufa treifa have what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell Noach, only bring animals that are treifa? The kavatach ayo? Shleimim lotayo? You're not allowed to bring good condition animal into the teva? I mean, that is such an absurdity that really, why are we wasting our time? Okay, all right, so let me just ask you, if that's the case, and we're learning out from the word itach, that's got to be like you, so then why do I need the pasuk to tell me lachayot zera? I mean, so we already know, basically, that they were not treifa. And we never did explain what the meaning of to make sure that you can reproduce with these animals. But why do I need that now, if anyway it has to be like Noah? Because, you see, if it just would have said itach, itach would have just meant that they could be their itach to provide you with company. And Safta Bialma. But I mean, if they are, look, if Noach had a wonderful pet dog, and he had a wonderful pet lion, and he had a wonderful pet zebra, I mean, they might be older. Maybe they're too old already to be able to reproduce, but they would still be good company for an old man. I mean, Noach wasn't exactly a youngster himself, you know. I mean, you know, when the centuries start passing, when you get around 500, you start feeling your age a bit. And so it could be that his 300-year-old collie was basically a wonderful friend, right? So maybe you could bring that in to be itach. I mean, after all, these are your favorite animals. Afilu zaken, maybe it's a little old, maybe it's sterile. Afilu saris, kamash malan. Therefore, the Torah had to add, no. Let's not get overly romantic around here. We're interested in lachayot zera. We want to make sure that we can repopulate this planet. Okay, so now we understand this. Now, how do we know that these animals have to be tohori? So, first of all, there was no such thing. What do you mean, Torin et Me'im? The Torah hadn't been given to define Torin et Me'im, so what does it even mean? Mi'avot Me'im v'Torin b'ahishata? Were there different sets of animal, Tohor v'Tame, at the time of Noah? Omer Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonatan. What it means is the ones that are going to be tahar after the Torah is given. That's the most reasonable girsa over here. Me'otam ha'atidim li'taher. Those that were going to be considered tahar at the time of the Torah. Well, how did he know? I mean, Noach, even if he was told that they are needed to be Torin, how would he know which minim are Torin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, only bring the Torin, mina v'yada? Well, that was simple. Kiddur of Chista. The Omer of Chista, all Noach needed to do is march these animals past the Teva and see if the door would allow them to come in. Kol sha'teva kolatan, whatever. The door of the Teva accepted in groups of seven, so then biyadua shehu tahor. If the Teva only took in two, so then biyadua shehem tmeim. What's the problem? Rabbi Abu Amar, Omar kro v'habaim zachar nekeva, habaim me'alayim. You didn't need to bring them there and then see whether the Teva would accept them, but it was ever showed up two by two, whatever showed up, the seven, 14 by 14, those were the ones that were kosher. And the ones that only came two by two, those were the ones that were not kosher. And that was basically the way to know which ones were kosher. Now, there's a big, I think, misunderstanding over here, a lot of discussion in the Achronim about how it is that Rashi completely overlooks our Gemara, and he goes ahead and he explains that when it says in the Pasuk, the Tohorim, the difference between Tohorim and Tumeim, that Mikan Shelamad Noach Torah. This proves that Noach had learned Torah. But the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara asked, how would he know? And it says, okay, maybe it came, the ones that came, or the ones that the Teva accepted. What in the world is how did he know? Seems that Rashi forgot the Gemara. Okay, all kinds of tirutzes, but the simple meaning, it's interesting that it's so easy to forget when you're living in a different space and time, and words have different meanings. It's so easy to forget what the simple question is. The question that Rashi was coming to address is not how did Noach know which ones were Tmeim U'Tahorim, but how did Noach understand the words Tmeim U'Tahorim? They don't make any sense. What did that word mean before there was a Torah? Though obviously Noach had learned Torah, meaning that he understood all of the general conceptualizations of the Torah, which of course, I mean, how would he have learned Torah in terms of knowing each mean and so on? That was not Nagia at all. But when we talk about the Torah that Noach learned, it means that he was fully aware of the ideas and of the categories and so on, just like we just had the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Klolos Nemru B'Sinai. Only the Klolos were Nemru B'Sinai. All of the Dita, does that mean they didn't learn Torah? No, they knew all of Torah. And then during that year in which Moshe Rabbeinu was learning in the Vayikra in the Mishkan, the Ohel Moed, so then all of that was expanded to get the Pratei Dinim. But it took a long time till we'll be able to sit and learn Masechet Zvachim or Masechet Chulin and be able to know all of the Dinim, which is not what Rashi meant to explain at all. Okay, Omar. So now, the next thing that we learned in that Braita that we had yesterday was that all of the Korbanas at that time, before the binyan of the Mishkan, needed to be olot. Hakol karvu olot. At least that's what it seems to mean. So we could bring any animal we wanted, but they would only be brought as a korban oila. But that's clearly not the case from the pasuk itself on Har Sinai. Olot in shlamim lo. It says vayizbechu zevachim shlamim lashem parim. So it says beferish that they were shlomi. What are you telling me? Everything was brought as an ayla? Ela, ema, no. It doesn't mean hakol, all of the mikorbanas. It means lakol, all people, whether they were b'nei Noach or they were the incipient b'nei Yisrael, all of them were able to be korev only olot. But that was shared by all humans. Masha Enkin, when it came to B'nai Noach, then it was only Olot, Olotin, and Shlomim Lot. That's what it means. And, of course, that would be going according to the Man Yomar, who holds that B'nai Noach do not bring Korbanot Shlomim. The concept of Shlomim, of sharing a korban with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is specifically a notion of Yisrael. Yisrael has a mutuality, and therefore they can have a Shlomim, in which part of the korban is Lashem, and part of it goes to the Baalim. But that makes no sense to a Ben Noah. The whole idea of the korban is not sharing. The idea of the korban to them is sacrificing, giving away something. So they can't bring a korban Shlomim. And this would be according to that Man D'Yomar, De'itma, machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. One of them said, Karvu Shlomim B'nei Noach. And one of them said, Lo Karvu Shlomim B'nei Noach. What is all of this based on? My time at the Man D'Yomar, Karvu Shlomim B'nei Noach. Where would there be a basis to say that B'nei Noach did sacrifice Shlomim? It's Beferish Apostolic. It says, Vehevel. Hevi gamhu mipchorot sono umichel vehen. Now, what does michel vehen mean? Michel vehen means from the emurim, from the part of the chalev. I mean, otherwise, why are you mentioning the chalev? So, in other words, there was a part that went on the mizbeach, but a part that didn't go on the mizbeach. That's what chel vehen means. So, ezehu davar, tell me the name of a korban where only the chalev is brought on the mizbeach and not the whole thing. And that's certainly not an oila. That can only be a shlamim. So then that means that the original early Carbonas that were brought back by Hevel, for heaven's sakes, were already Shlomim. And you're telling me that they couldn't be bring Shlomim before there was a Migdash or a Mishkan? HaVeomer ze Shlomim? So you see from here, Karvu Shlomim b'nei Noach. Not that Hevel knew Noach, but close enough. Okay, obviously, B'nai Noach does not necessarily mean B'nai Noach mamash. It means, I mean, that's clear because the Shema mitzvahs, let's say B'nai Noach, are mitzvahs that are mostly given over to Adam HaRishon and son, as we learned. In any event, it's clear that there must have been Shlomim. So then what would be the Shita of the Mandi Amar who says, Lo Karvu B'nai Noach? So he says, well, that's the posit of Uri Tzafon Uvoi Teman. What do you think that means? So Uri means get out of here. That's Lashon Titna'er. Move aside, move aside. So this is talking to the Goyim. Move aside and get out of the way. The nations who can only be in the Tzafon, because they can only bring the Olos. And come on in, Uvoi Teman. Let the Temanim come. And the Temanim are the people that are able to be makriv in the Daron. Teman is Daron, and those are B'nai Yisrael. So this is a simon of the Bias HaMashiach, get rid of the B'nai Noach from the Beis HaMikdash, and enter the people who are waiting to bring their Karbanos Shlomim. Tavo Umashim Aseah, both B'Tzafon and B'Daron. Okay, so what does he do? If that's the case, what does he do with the story of Hevel? It says that Hevel brought me Chel Vehem. Chel Vehem has a double meaning. You know that. Chel Vehem doesn't have to mean the parts on the Mizbeach, referring to Chelev literally. Chel Vehem just means the best, the juiciest. That's another way of using Chel Vehem, right? So when it says Chel Vehem, it means Mashmanehem. It means the best of them. Hevel brought the best of his animals. And that makes sense because one of the contrasts of Cain and Hevel is that Cain brought garbage and Hevel brought the best. So that was another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't like Cain's korban. Okay, so how does he explain the fact that it says, Uri Tzafon Uvoi Teman, the one who learns that you are allowed to bring it, how does he explain the fact that it says over here, get out of the way, people who can only bring karbonas in the north? There are no such people. No, that Mandi Amar holds. Who is talking about Ahu B'Kibbutz Goliyot U'Dichtiv? There it means nations to the north and to the south, in order to bring all of the B'nai Yisrael who are golim with you. Wake up and start bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. Get those planes flying. Let's have a massive aliyah. That's what it means. That's not talking about Karbonas at all. Well, let me ask you something. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, Gamata titein biadenu. Listen to this. Zvachim ve'olot. Aha. So if Paro is going to be supplying Zvachim, then that means that they were obviously bringing Zvachim at that time, besides the Olot, as it says, V'yasinu l'Hashem Elokeinu. So then that means they were bringing Shlomim still at that time. Ha! Nah. Zvachim at that time meant yummy food. It meant for eating. You'll be sending along lots of barbecues for the B'nai Yisrael and the Korbanos for us to bring. That's all that he meant. So the Zvachim were Achila at purposes, and the Olot were Lahakrava. But what about when Yisrael showed up? Yisrael brings, it says Beferish, Ola Uzvachim. Now, what do you think it means over there? I mean, there it says Beferish Lashem. Obviously, it's referring that the Zvachim, the last thing before the words Lashem, was the Zvachim. You can't tell me over there that the Zvachim were for me to eat, because then why did it say Lashem afterward? It says Lelokim. So, what are you going to do about Yisroel? Yeah, Yisroel. Yisroel came after Matan Torah, of course. So, at that point, they were already no longer B'nai Noach, and they were able to bring Shlomim. I thought that was a big machlokas, no? Hanichal Mandi Omar Yitro Achar Matan Torah Haya. That's only if you hold like the Mandi Omar that Yitro came after Matan Torah. What are you going to say if you hold like the other Mandi Omar? If Yitro came before Matan Torah, then how did he bring Zvachim? And we know this machlokas, the Itmar. B'nei Rabbi Chiya argue with Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Chadamar Yitro kodem Matan Torah hayav, chadamar Yitro achar Matan Torah. So what are you going to say according to that Mandi Omar? Well, what's the problem? Apparently, that Mandi Omar who holds the Mandi Omar, Yitro kodem Matan Torah, he also holds the shita that Shlomim hikrivu b'nei Noach, b'nei Noach inami. Since Yitro brought Shlomim, it's clear that b'nei Noach do bring Shlomim. Now, this question of whether Yitro did come before Matan Torah or not is a machlokes tanoim. Kitanoim. Vayishma Yitro kohen Midian. What exactly did he hear that caused him to come out to join b'nei Yisrael in the Midbar?
So Rabbi Yeshua says, well, it must have been Milchemet Amalek, because that was exactly what comes before Vayishma Yitro. Vayachalosh Yoshua Amalek v'tamolefi charev.
And then we have the parsha of Yitro. So that must be what catalyzed his coming. Rabbi Elazar Amoda Yomer, no, he heard about Matan Torah. Matan Torah Shama Uba Shekishenitna Torah LeYisrael. When Har Sinai made such an incredible public presentation, Hayakolo Holech Misofo Lamvat Sofo, the sound of Matan Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking, and the kolos on Har Sinai went from one end of the world to the other. V'chol malchei ovdei kochavim achazatan ra'ada be'echaleihen, and all of the goyim who were ovdei kochavim, even the greatest kings that they were there in their beautiful palaces, started to shake and tremble, because that was the end of Malchus of Bnei Adam and the beginning of real Malchus. V'omru shira shenema uveheichalo kulo merchavod. In each one of their palaces, what we're understanding it to mean. So the idea of the meaning over there of Yecholel Ayalot will scare the hell out of the Ayalot. Those Ayalot are a remez to the Malche. They think that they're like the ones that could climb up the mountains and do whatever they want. You know, they are absolutely sure-footed animals. That's the way they look at themselves. So all of those Ayalot, they all went ahead and started to say, Kadosh, 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 Kulo Merkavod. And they all came to Bilam, of course, who was the only one who would know what's going on. Bilam Rulo, what's happening? Ma kol ha'mon asher shamanu, something's happening in the world. Maybe there's another Martian landing and all of these, the water is coming again. Shema Mabul Baliolam, we heard about that terrible event. Another Mabul is coming. That's the next pasuk. Hashem Lemabul Yashav, right? That's all part of the Ayalot. So after that, Hashem Lemabul Yashav. So Bilam says to them, you know, don't worry about that. He's not coming with a Mabul, because Vayashav Hashem Melech Leolam. What does that mean? Kvar Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he is Yashav and he made a Shvua, believe me that you can absolutely be guaranteed that it's Vayeshev Hashem Melech Leolam. You don't have to worry about any kind of Mabul. So they said to him, well, okay, maybe we don't have to worry about a Mabul of water. Maybe this time it's hydrogen peroxide. I don't know. So he only promised not to bring a Mabul of Mayim. Maybe this time he's going to bring a Mabul of Eish, you know. Avo Mabul shel Eish mevi shenemar. Kiba Eish Hashem nishpat. Amar lehem, no. He promised that he's not going to destroy the whole world, because it's that if you look at the Haftocha to Noach, it says Velo yikaret kol basar od, separately from Velo yeh od mabul l'shachet ha'aretz. It's two different things. It's not going to be any kind of mabul, and he's not going to destroy all of life. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, said they, so what is going on in the world? Everything is shaking and tumbling. So ma kol ha'amon hazeh she'shamanu? Amar lehem, so Bilam explained to them, chemda tova yesh lo bebeit ginazav she'hayta genuza etzlo tatka'ad dorot kodem shenivra ha'olam.
There's been something that's been hidden away for so many years, even before the world was created. It must have been that there was the equivalent of 974, that's Tatke'ad, generations. Why? Because it says, Davar Tzivala Elefdar. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah in the after 26 dorot, not after 1,000 dorot. That's why we have 26. Are there a few people I'm talking to over here? Hey, Ori, are you listening? Do we have anybody there? It's like so frustrating. I mean, even Naftali, he promised me, I'm going to be coming again. I'm going to be there. And look at this. Calvin is there. I mean, my gosh, I got to drag them out. I got to go back to dental school. This is awful. Okay, it's so wonderful to see you. I don't understand what it is that you don't want to share your presence. It's like the whole kayak of the daf. I'm sitting here trying to pump myself up, putting in compressed air just to be able to get enough air over my vocal cords. And, whatever. We'll have a donut. This is outrageous. And if you do have donuts, at least share.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it's grand cereal without sugar. I don't want everybody to watch me eating breakfast before I leave on tour. So that's why it's off. But we're here.
Well, maybe you could post at least one of those, not a picture that is static, put up a video or something, no? I don't think you could do that. Anyway, so... Well, how do we get Tatkat Dorot? So we got 26 Kile Olam Chastos, remember? The Gemara says, why do we have 26 Kile Olam Chastos? Because for 26 Dorot, where we didn't have Torah yet, we were surviving just on pure Chesed, because there was nothing that we could do to be Memale the Rotzen Hashem as a Tzivui, and therefore we needed to have this massive Chesed. But that's the Torah that was given after 26 Dorot. And here it says, Davar Tzivala Elef Dor. So all you got to do is subtract 26 from Elef, and what do you get? Tat Ke'ad, 974. So that means that those Dorot are hidden to our access. So this was before our history comes into play. And that was before what we call Briyas HaOlam. And now he had that Torah that was there that whole time. Now he wants to give them to his children. Bikeshlit nalabanav. Shenamar, continuing on in the same parsha, Hashem oz lamo yitein. So that Hashem oz lamo yitein, that we're going to apply here as Torah. So when they all heard that, they all continued on with the words, Hashem yivarech et amo bashalom, continuing that parsha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that's not what he heard. He heard about Kriyat Yam Suf, Shenemar, Vayi Kishmoa Kol Malchei Amori, talking about when the kings of the Amorim heard what had happened. So this is going on when Parsha, in the story of Yoshua, that the Yarden had dried up. So it says, after that, Vayi Kishmoa Kol Malchei Amori, Asher Be'eva HaYarden, Yama, and so on and so forth. Et asher hovish Hashem et mei ha-yardein b'pnei b'nei Yisrael, etc., etc. So it says, vayimas levavam. That's very important to hear this specific language, because the Gemara is going to be contrasting it with specific language. Vayimas levavam, their hearts melted away, velo hayabam od ruach b'pnei b'nei Yisrael. And they just didn't have any guts left, any spirit left to even try to fight off B'nai Yisrael. This was the ultimate psychological warfare. So, I mean, you can't fight people that just dry up the rivers. And now we find the same Lashon that was said by Rochav HaZona. She says to the Shluchim that Yoshua had sent to find out, you know, what's going on over there. Ki shamanu et asher hovish Hashem et mei yam suf. She says the same thing. We heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu dried up all of the yam. But there's a slight difference, because Benogea the Malchea Emori, where the Torah is simply describing the results in Sefer Yoshua of what had happened before they got to Rochav. So it says, v'lo hayabam od ruach. They didn't have any more kayach, spirit, guts to fight. But what she says is slightly different. Instead of saying v'lo haya,
Bam Ruach, she says, V'lo kama od ruach be'ish. So why does it use the language of lo kama? Because it means literally lo kama. They couldn't get it up. Afilo akshuye nami lo akshu. They could not get on an erection. And how did she know? How did she know? She was the world's famous erection measurer. Because after all, Ein lecha kol sar v'nagid shelo bal rachav hazona. There was not a single famous guy that had any kind of power that didn't go to Rachav Epstein's house. And I don't believe in all that nonsense. But in any event, this was the original Rachav papers. You know, so if you wanted to know anything about how people were feeling about life, the best way is just to measure the koma b'ish. So they asked her, so how are people doing? Oh, God, there's a real male problem lately, and I'm looking for some doctors to help. So she started off when she was 10 years old, bat eser shanim hayta kisheyatzu Yisrael mimitzrayim, and she developed the most amazing career, zamta kol arbaim shana shayu Yisrael b'midbar. I mean, after 40 years of expertise, let me tell you, there's nobody else in the world that you can ask for intimate information. So for 40 years, after 50 years, where she's 50 years old, that's when she goes and she becomes a Gioret, and she marries Yoshua, and so on and so forth. And she said, Yehei Amra, Hashzeta Kadosh Baruch Hu, that she should get a kapora, Bishar Hevel Chalon Upishtim, because it turns out that the very things that were her stock in trade. So what she used to do, like it says in the Pasuk, she lived in the Choma, and she had the window through which she had lowered the Meraglim of Yoshua, and when they had come searching for them, she had hidden them under the Pishtim. And that means that there were three things of stock in trade. First of all, she had her window, where people could sneak away from their wives and climb up outside of the wall, and nobody would know that they were going to her house. So if Mrs. was waiting outside to make sure her husband wasn't misbehaving, husband, meanwhile, was climbing the ladder on the other side. And then if Mrs. would bang on the door and insist to see who is there, she would put them into the Pishtim cellar, and Mrs. would never find them. So those were her famous stock and trades. She said, I used exactly those three things to help Bnei Yisrael capture Eretz Yisrael, and I saved the lives of the Meraglim, and that should be for me a kapora when she became a Giyaret. Now,
Rabbi, is it interesting that it's the inverse of Banos Alushur, right? It's the men climbing the walls. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, it doesn't use the same Lashana, so it's not as powerful. Omar Mar, Ovdei Kochavim Bizman Hazeh. Now, this is what Rabbanei wanted to know yesterday. We finally get to it. How do we know, and what are the dinim, about Ovdei Kochavim Bizman Hazeh, who would like to bring korbonos? Rishaim la'asot ken. So we know any milah. The Tana Rabbanan. Since the entire parsha of Shchutei Chutz that we've been learning, every last detail of those psukim, we forgot to look at the special words at the beginning, which, well, we looked at them for another purpose, which is the Zad of our purpose, but it specifies the Beral Aaron ve'al banav, and it says ve'al kol b'nei Yisrael. Now, that means that this mitzvah of this Yisrael Shchutei Chutz, Pesach Le'omeid, and so on, ve'alayhem tomar, all of this is being spoken out to whom? B'nei Yisrael mitzuvim al Shchutei Chutz. V'ein ovdei kochavim mitzuvim al Shchutei Chutz. So a goy does not have any relationship to the bayit, and to him, the bayit doesn't aser anything that's outside, because that concept of kedusha and specificity does not impact the b'nei noach. And therefore, in actual halachic terms, lefichach, you could have any guy building up himself a private bum on his roof, and he could be makriv any kind of animal as long as it's kosher, exactly what we said could be done originally before the Mishkan was built, and it could be Tmimim, Balei Mumin, all of those dinim that we said in the Mishnah, apply Bizman HaZeh. Omar Rav Yaakov Baracha Omar Rav Asi, however, speaking to you tour guides, you are not allowed to be involved in this. Now, it would be great. You've got this evangelist group that's coming. You say, how about we go up to the top of the Shiloh Mountain and we bring a carbon, you know? Well, you're not allowed to actually be part of that, but you can tell them all about it, and they could do it, but you can't be part of it. You can't be misayeya them, or you can't be a shliach for them. You can only give them instructions. So anyway, Rabba was the tour guide at that point, and Omar Rabba, but you are allowed to give them instructions. So Ularina Lohu Shari, after all the Rabbanan are tour guides for this biggest tour, the tour of your life.
Maybe in order to get them to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu opposed to their Bodhisattva.
Yeah, sure. It's a wonderful,
that's close. You can
a wonderful thing to bring a carbon, right?
I've heard there's a contention, let's have them bring it on our bias, and then you don't have the issue of not being able to messiah them, because they'll be bringing it in the right place.
If you hold that it's mutter bezmanazah, that makrim below by it. Yeah.
You know the Blake Barnea?
Barnea is interested right now in living dangerously. Kiha de Ifra Hormiz. Remember that devilishly beautiful woman, the mother of Shvor Malka, and Shvor Malka was a big bucky and dinim and so on. So anyway, so she sent a carbon, and she didn't know how do you bring a carbon, she sent the carbon to Rava, and she said, take this and bring it up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you need to do. So Rava told Rav Safra and Rav Acha Bar Huna, so here's what you got to do. First of all, you got to get two zilu vedapru trei umigulai. You need to get two teenagers because we always like teenagers for that's the na'arei b'nei Yisrael. So if you're going to have goyim, get a couple of nice-looking goyish teenagers of the same age, and find a place. Chazu echad amascha yama sirton. Find a place that has new sediment. Because new sediment, we can be sure, is something that hasn't been used before, and use that to tell them to build a mizbeach out of that, and then shkulu tzivichadati, make sure that you've got brand new wood that wasn't part of something that had been used before for tzarchi hedyet, and apiku nura mimora chadata, get yourself like a fresh metal that hadn't been used before, and you can use that to strike the fire. And then Asku and Yale, have them bring that carbon up for her, L'shem Shammai. So is it really necessary to make sure that the wood had never been used before? Omele Abaye, why are you giving them that aloha? Come on. It must be you're going to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, de Tanya, because we have in the Braita Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua Omer, Ma Mizbeach Shelo Yishtamesh Bo Het Yod, that in the same way that the Mizbeach is something, it says, Vasu Li Migdash Li Lishmi, and not that would be used by anybody else, so too the Eitzim Shelo Yishtamesh Bo Het Yod. But even Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua did not say that that's a din in a bama. He only said that's a din on the Mizbeach and the etim of the Mizbeach, because Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua is mod, I'll prove it to you. He's mod when it comes to a bama that you could actually use any type of wood that you want. De Tanya, we've got a contradiction over here between the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim and the Pasuk in Shmua. So, in Divrei HaYomim, it says, in telling us the story of how it was that David purchased the Goren Aravna Hayavusi, so it says, Vayitin David Ornan Bamakom Shiklei Zahav Mishkal Shesh Meot. So it says over here that he gave them 600 shkalim of Zahav. And that's what it says in Divrei HaYomim. But the problem is that in Shmuel Beis it says, Vayiken David et ha-goren ve et ha-bakar bekesef shkalim chamishim. I'm very confused. I mean, first of all, over there it says gold, and here it says kesef. And then there it says 600, and here it says 50. So how does that work out? Well, okay, Tzad, it means that he collected from every one of the Shvatim 50 shekel, gova mikol shevet v'shevet chamishim, which 50 times 12 equals 600. And that's what it means. Shein sheish meot. Rebbe says, I understand. I learned by Rabbi Yossi ben Dostoy the obvious answer. One of them says, Vayikin David et ha-goren v'et ha-bakar. And the other one says, Vayitin David la'ornan b'makom. So one of them was paying for the real estate, and the other one was paying, as it says beferish, dafka for the goren and the bakar. So there were different things. He paid for the goren and the etzim that were there in the cattle that was there. That he bought for 50 shekel, and then he paid 600 shekel for the real estate. And we see that he clearly must have bought all of that stuff, because it says in Shmuel, Vayomer Aravna El David, Yikach, Vayal Adoni HaMelech HaTov Beinav, take any of the things that you'd like to take to bring up as a korban, Re'e HaBakar La'ola, here I've got all of this, these beautiful bakar for you to bring up as an Ola, and I have Amorigin, which we'll talk about what that means in a moment, and the Klei HaBakar, which is all part of the Goren, because you need Morigin, as we're going to see, for the Goren, and whatever was needed for the, you know, the yolks and so on that was needed for the Bakar, use that for wood. Use that for wood. How can you use it for wood if this is the same Rebbe Elazar ben Shamoa? He's the one who's saying that David bought the wood. He's going to use the, I thought he was the one that said that you need to have wood that was never used for anything else. This is like cheapo wood if it's the Morigin and it's the Klei HaBakar. So apparently there's a difference between the Mizbeach, after you build a Mizbeach, and when it's a Bama, because at that point we're talking about a Bama. So how do you explain that? You're telling me Rebbe Elazar ben Shamoa is telling Rava, so to speak, that he has to bring new wood? You don't need new wood. Because Rava could say to you, I disagree. I think Rebbe Elazar ben Shamoa is no contradiction. It was all new, and that's gufa what Aravna was telling him. Look, these are all re'e. You can use all of this stuff. It's got a badat hechsher. It's never been used before. And I'm telling you that this is available for you to bring. It doesn't say beferish that they brought it from things that were used, or you can understand it as meaning, who says that David was mekabelet? Maybe Aravna was telling him, you can use it, and David didn't use it. Anyway, what are these morigin? Now, obviously, if we're talking about the kalim of the actual goren, so the morigin are part of what's used at a goren. So remember, a goren is a place where you do threshing. In order to do threshing, you have to loosen the husks from the tefuah that you're going to thresh, and then you throw it up into the air. You have to put that goren in a place where there's a regular ruach that is going to help you do the winnowing afterwards. And what did you do in order to loosen the husks? So there's different things you could do, but one of the most effective ways of loosening the husks is by using morigin. What are morigin? Morigin are used, they're called, in nowadays, they're called turbo beds, mitashel turbo. So those are turbulence beds, so to speak. They are things that cause turbulence in the actual tua. So by what they are, they're boards that have the sticking out of them, all types of metallic screws and things like that. You pull them over the, you hook them up to some horses, you pull them over the tefuah, and that shakes it up so badly, it breaks up the husks, and then the winnowing is very easy. And what exactly is a mita shel turbel? Omer Abaye, well, it's an iza de kurkisa, the daishan dishoy. It's that thing that they make it look like a goat, you know, that is, it's got these screws sticking out of it. And those are used for threshing, things that need to be threshed, daishan dishoy. Omer Abaye, where do we see this in the pasuk? Oh, it's beautiful. We see this from the pasuk in Yeshayahu, because over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hinei samtich lemorag charutz chadash bal pipiot. I've turned you, Yisrael, into this new and powerful morag. Obviously, morag is the singular of a morigin. And it's bal pipiot. It's got a lot of sharp things sticking out of it. And what will you do with it, Yisrael? Tadush harim v'tadok ugvot kamotz tasim. You'll turn mountains into level areas to put up your rakevets, and you'll be able to thresh all the things that need breaking down, turn them into moats. So, okay, so but meanwhile, we see what's a morag? A morag is, you see them all around, you know, those round things that are like two stories high and they go round and round and they push their way through mountains, right? That's the ultimate morag charutz that Yeshayahu was talking about. Man, oh man. They couldn't even imagine what a real morag charutz is. You see one of those machines working, and it's like unbelievable. Straight to the earth. Okay, the ultimate morag. Anyway, so Rava was teaching his son the Tanakh, and he was makri Rava libre, and he showed his son that the psukim in Shmuel Beis versus the psukim in the Divrei Hayamim are like full of stiras. So Varami Lekroi Adadi. So he brought these two psukim, and he asked his son, so what do we do? Here it says, Vayitein David Le Arnan. There it says that he gave him 50 shekel, and here it says 600 shekel. And how does that, how can we explain that? So he said, well, he was Govem Mikol Shevet V'Shevet Chamishim, which equals 600, says the Gemara. Yeah, I mean, that's just a small part of the contradiction. I mean, even if you just want to talk about the money, it says in one case in Shmuel Beis, it says kesef. And in Divrei Hayamim, it says zahav. So, you know, multiplying 50 times the 12 times the kesef doesn't equal 600 zahav. So you didn't answer anything. Elohachi kama. What Rava said to his son was, he was gove kesev, which was worth sheish me'ot zahav. It doesn't mean 50. It means 50 in zahav as expressed in kesev. But not the total weight ended up being worth 600 shekels of zahav. It doesn't mean that people don't have such easy access to zahav. Okay, so that explains the psukim and the different references into what was purchased in the psukim. Now let's go on in the next piece of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that kachim kalim were eaten at that time b'chol machaneh Yisrael. Omer Avuna, what that means is that you could eat kachim kalim wherever a mokum of Yisrael was, because it did not need to be a particular mokum that was enclosed by anything. If there's a Yisroel there, that's a Machane Yisroel. The same thing that we said today. You could eat it b'chol moshvotechem, but so eat it wherever you are. So if you were in the Midbar, so then you walked away and you went 2 miles in the other direction to look at the beautiful view, you could eat your kachim kalim there. At least that's what he seems to be saying. But in the Midbar, apparently, Avol Machaneh Lo Havi, there was no particular place that was called Lifnei Hashem in terms of Kachim Kalim and Maaser Sheni. That didn't have a specific place. So wherever you were is the Machaneh Yisrael. Ezrei Reb Nachman, Rav Huna, how can you say such a thing? We know that the Bright explains to us precisely what the Machnas in the Midbar were in terms of what the dinim of the Machnas are. Bismanazeh, Vatanya, Keshem Shemachaneh Bamidbar, Kach Machaneh Yerushalayim. We had exactly the same thing in Yerushalayim, from the walls of the Yerushalayim up to the Har HaBayit. That is what is defined as the Machane Yisrael, which was connected to specific Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, which was where all of the Oalim of the Bnei Yisrael were. From the Har HaBayit up to Sha'ar Nikanor, where you go into the actual Azorah, even including the area of the Ezras Nashim, which you walk through in order to get up to Sha'ar Nikanor, all of that had the din of the Machane Leviya, and it was connected where Moshe and Aaron were surrounded by the other Leviyim. That's the Machane Leviya. And then
that's where the Leviyim stand to do their Shira. They're in fact in Machane Leviya.
Correct.
Never noticed that.
Mikan ve'elech, inside Sha'ar Nikanor, then that's already called Machane Shechina. That is connected the Kla'im of the Mishkan in the Midbar. But, I mean, you see the bright that takes us a Dover Poshet, that we're applying a real din of Machane that was in the Midbar to Yerushalayim. So how can Rav Huna say there was no Machane? No, he didn't say every place was the Machane. He said you could eat Kachim Kalim, any place that was considered to be Machane Yisrael, even, this is what he was implying. Remember that the Machane was portable in those days, right? So now, what happens if you're eating Kachim Kalim, and all of a sudden, the Machane changes, and they move on? Now you're a kilometer away from where you were before. Gosh, kilometers are not enough, because it was 12 kilometers. All right, so your day's worth of travel now in a different place. Can I continue to eat my Kachim Kalim? Remember, I have 2 days to eat them, but maybe it's called Yotze. He's coming to tell me, as we'll see in a moment, that there's no Psul Yotze. Isn't it Pshita that wherever it is Kachim Kalim? No, because if you started eating it before, and now we take down the Mishkan and we start moving, then during the period that it's moving, it should be Psul. And then remain puzzled because it was Yotze, because the Machanas were Bata when you were moving. Kamash Mala, that's what Rav Huna is coming to say. Bechol Makom, it doesn't matter where the Machane is. It translates into the same Machane. But why? Maybe that's really true. It should be puzzled by Yotze. There's no Mechitzas. There's no Kedusha of the Mishkan. Same Achinami. Omar Kra, Vinasa Ohel Mo'ed. You see that we call it the Ohel Moed, even though it's been broken up and now it's like a bunch of Lego pieces, it's still called the Ohel Moed. So you see that there was no din of Yotze because the Ohel Moed was simply in a different format when they were traveling, but it had the same din of Kedusha Legabe, the dinim of the Mechitzas. Okay, Rabbosai, excellent.